Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
And I am Nathan Khalili. I am Brother Love.
Brother
same
Love.
Same hair, different face.
How you doing? You tricked me. Brother Love, of course, our buddy from Nashville. By the way, horrible weather I'm seeing.
Yes, sir. We are in a tornado watch as we speak. I remembered that when I do this show, when I do internet types of things, I plug my computer directly into the computer line. What cable is that?
Yes.
It's not Wi-Fi.
That was Kenda's job. I don't know what's what.
But I'm telling you, if you guys, Keith and the Girl, for all your guests, if you invest in these wires, I don't know if you can see them here, just put Keith and the Girl on them, have people buy them. They hook them up old school.
Yes.
To their router, and then your internet will be fantastic, just like this is. Am I crisp? Am I clear?
Very clear. I mean, you have that Nashville sound. Yeah. Before the show, Brother Love was talking about it's allergy season, and he brought up the point, like, you know how Willie Nelson got his sound? He came to Nashville. He sounded like Tom Jones. Now he sounds like Willie Nelson. Dolly Parton, he says, sounded like Barbara Streisand. Next thing you know, you got pollen in the air,
right?
And it's a whole new sound.
Everybody comes down to Nashville, and we all say the same thing. I never had allergies until I moved to Nashville, and it can be very debilitating. And it's really it's tough for a lot of people. Sarah's been like her; it feels like she has the flu for a couple of days. It's right. Just stuck in my throat. And the reason why you really know it is that when you go to your car, you can see this film of green, and it doesn't really come off with water. The best thing that gets it off is actually rainwater. So today, with a tornado watch, we'll have plenty of rainwater.
Good job. Nashville had a tornado. This was right before COVID. I'm telling you, like you didn't live there. Are you getting PTSD? Are you getting a little nervous? It's not a
joke. Absolutely. No, it's the same. We have a few friends that are really nervous about it, and it's very scary. We have one friend that actually is a meteorologist. So it's a wonderful friend to have in your corner, because she either eases your anxiety or at least gives you or increases it, depending on the situation. And it's very scary because the tornado came and hit, not on my block, probably I'd say about a quarter of a mile. No, I'll say about a half a mile from my house. And it destroyed a lot of Nashville. And it was devastating. And it was right before COVID. I mean, March, we were doing a benefit concert in Nashville for the tornado. And we couldn't understand why nobody showed up, except for this one singer who the next day blamed us for giving her COVID.
Ah.
Right. Oh, sorry. We didn't know what COVID was, but nobody showed up at the show because people were afraid of this new thing. So the tornado and then COVID, 2020 was a rough time.
Next thing, Godzilla comes by. It is crazy that the destruction was all around you. It's like that old picture, the Van Halen cover where the house that's standing has Jesus outside, and everything else is destroyed around it.
Did you see the picture? I just saw this picture in Hawaii where they had the wildfires last year, I think. It looks like the moon, except for one house. This is, you can look it up. There's literally, and how do you feel if you're that family living? The house is pristine, like nothing touched it, and everything around it for miles is gone. That's bizarre.
And it's scary having your house the only one that's, you got to fuck up your house a little bit for the neighbors, really. It's why everybody attacked that house in the first purge, because the guy had it all together and he had the security system.
Yeah. It's and there was also the Basement East, which is a really great music venue on the east side of Nashville, hence the name. They got destroyed in the tornado, and it turns out somebody found a photograph from, I think, 1999. I could be wrong, but it was around that time that a tornado came down through Nashville and hit that building in the exact same spot. I'm not exaggerating. Wow. Not like the back building. This is the front in the exact same spot. I mean, what are the odds? It's scary.
You ever outrun one like Twister?
Actually, you know what? A couple of months ago, I was with, where was I? Sarah had a gig up in Indiana or something, and I was driving home alone. It was just a 3-hour drive, and the weather, it's all of a sudden I start getting alerts, and I'm in my phone and I'm thinking, okay, alert, tornado warning in your area now. And I thought, well, I'm driving, I'll outrun it, right? So
then the alerts are coming from your car. It's beeping that something's too close to you.
It's beep, right. It's not beeping like this is my home telling me in Nashville. Right. I am driving and I'm speeding up. And then all of a sudden I start looking around me and I see that there's circular motion of like leaves on the ground, okay. A circular motion. And I said, oh my God, oh, holy shit. Like I was petrified. So I went under an overpass.
Stranger Things or this is bad news.
This was bad news. Yeah. And I went under an overpass, called Sarah. And then she said, well, that's the worst place you could be. I said, well, I don't know where the best right. place I could be is. And I was frightened. I'd never been that scared. I really was.
I don't remember what to do. Do you play dead at a tornado? Do you act bigger than the tornado? Do you punch it right in the face? I don't know what you do with a tornado. I know you don't shoot at it. That was Donald Trump's idea, and he got made fun of for that.
Well, the tornado, when we had the tornado in Nashville, it was a Monday night, and we had been out salsa dancing at a jazz club in Nashville. And it was Sarah, my wife, Sarah, and myself, and a friend of ours. And we had taken some mushrooms. And so we came home and all of a sudden I'm like standing outside. There's a nice wind blowing and everything looks a little green. And I'm like, wow. I said, we should put on Dark Side of the Moon. This is really cool. You know, I had a little buzz on and Sarah screamed, get the fuck in the basement. And we grabbed the dog and went in the basement. And 5 minutes later, we had a text saying, the basement east is gone. Half of East Nashville is gone. So it's absolutely frightening. And so now, because you don't know, it's kind of like, tornado can destroy your home and the house next to you can be just fine. So
do people leave? Like, is there a little exodus going on right now?
I don't know. I would suspect no, because the traffic in Nashville is bad enough now because of the influx of people. So I feel like people would be too stressed out. I think you kind of find your little space if you have like a crawl space or a basement and you just know that you're going to go there a few times. And also, by the way, when we had our tornado in 2020, most of the sirens in town were out of commission. They were not working. So now you have to remember now that every Saturday, the first Saturday of every month at noon, they test the new working. Yes, but you forget sometimes. You go, wow, it's sunny out.
Right.
There's a tornado. Get hide. No, it's just a test.
Well,
so
that it turns out that's what happened in Maui, right? The fires that they didn't want to set off the alarms. They didn't think it'd be that big a deal.
They didn't want to set off the alarms. And the other thing that I saw in an article was saying that they didn't use like treated wood. They didn't use materials that would be sustainable against fire. They said, no, we're not going to do it. You know, can't happen here. It won't happen here.
Yeah. Are you going to sleep in your basement?
Thankfully not. Oh, I say that because like you would know, this warning is from like, an hour ago till about 7 or 8, 9 o'clock at night. So hopefully it'll be over in a couple of hours. But the dog is the telltale.
Right.
Because her tail is down. She's very, very, very skittish. We gave her some anxiety pills.
Well, don't do that.
Well,
that's taking the batteries out of your alarm.
Well, no, like give her anxiety. We gave her.
Oh, okay. Makes her more nervous if she smells
To make her strong,
right?
Just in case she has to run real fast and we have to get on her back. Oh, absolutely. High anxiety gives you more strength.
Right. Well, thank you for being here. We hope you live, et cetera. We've known Brother Love for over 2 decades now, I'd say, right? Something like that.
Absolutely.
So thank you for being part of season 2 of Keith and the Girl. Mm. We appreciate having you here.
Anytime. It's my pleasure.
We did. So Hemda is doing her OMAT club. She's focusing on self-help.
You lose. Yeah, I'm joking. I'm totally kidding.
She's over laughter, like I said. She's over comedy and ever having fun again. I'm figuring out how to do it. She did so much stuff. Turns out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you mean like scheduling and things?
I just did my first scheduling. My first official scheduling, meaning last minute, I just called one of you guys, you, Liz Mealy, maybe Bianca, and go, what do you think, tomorrow? Yeah. But now I just got my first professional booking, let's say, and it's very exciting. Very exciting
that
stuff.
I hit you up because the other day I said, well, I wonder how Keith's doing. Hey man, how are you? What's going on? And we text and all that. And I said, I don't think I have to tell you this, but if you would like a guest or a guest host, just hit me up. And you're like, how's tomorrow?
Right. I go, good. This sounds fantastic.
And it worked out just fine. So it was great.
So
but it's tough.
So just to catch you up, So Hemda left, Then I took off a week to center myself, and I put out the audio from my first autobiography, The Great American Novel. Mm-hmm. What balls, by the way. I was 30 years old. That's my autobiography. But anyway, I put that out as shows. I catch myself now more when I say we.
Wait, that's 20 years ago.
That's 20 years ago, but I wanted to give people something instead of them just waiting. Yeah. Then we had on, that was an accident, Catherine, my ex, and Bianca Brady came on. Mm-hmm. Then Mallory Jane, Mallory did the artwork to, this is a lot of artwork for me. They're very vulnerable and open, but had some bad things happen in their life and shows us how we can keep living through so much horror. Liz Mealy was a guest after that. And then I started putting out Stand Up, the Good Clean Fun album I put out in our feed. So make sure you're subscribed to the feed. I'm Dating Your Mom, that's Stand Up. And then we talked to Lucy Pohl. So here's what's going to happen is the beginning of next week for my birthday, 50 years young, I'm going to take off a couple days. Then we're going to do live Diamond Dogs is the plan. To test out this new thing we've been working on behind the scenes with fancy templates, fancy ways to change cameras.
Oh, yeah.
A sound effects board to throw out farts for no reason. I'm very excited. And then Friday night, we'll do the first official Keith and the Girl live show. So just to fill in what's so going on to everybody.
This is a fill-in show.
It sounds offensive, right?
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, don't even answer it because it's your business, but I mean, you know, McCartney-Lennon, right? Mm-hmm. McCartney-Lennon, okay, they had their publishing company. So no matter what they did, no matter who wrote what, they both got paid evenly. So are you an owner of OMAT, and is Hemda an owner of KATG still?
Hemda took a payout.
She took a payout.
Yeah.
So I should ask her for money. Okay. I just want to know who to ask.
And she figured out the contract. So that's probably who you want to be friends with. You're actually making a mistake being here. I know you didn't used to talk about your age. I don't know I forget if you do now. But I do know I'm a little younger than you. Was 50 a big deal?
I don't know. I'm 2 years old.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
That was good, right?
You like that? That's funny how your mic cut out there. Yeah.
That's a fret. Look at that sound effect, huh? that's free. I'm 52. I'm good with it. I'm good with it. Yeah, I'm closer to death. I'm great. actually, you know what? I was closer to death back then than I am now, to be honest.
Right.
Really. You know, I quit drinking as you did.
That's right.
And it'll be 2 years in May.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. And I tell you, I know I'm a later bloomer. Because the feelings I have, most of my friends, including my wife, are around the 40-year-old age.
Okay.
Like my close friends and my close wife. And so
me too.
They're feeling a lot of the pressure of a midlife crisis type of thing. And I'm feeling it as well. I don't think I felt it when I was 40 because I was rock and roll. I was touring. I had just sort of moved to Nashville. I had a new lease on life, but I'm a late bloomer for sure. I mean, it takes me a while to get it, you know, to get whatever it is.
We didn't do podcasting until I was 30.
Right.
You know?
Totally. And so now that I'm in a position right now where I know that I'm having a difficult time in life because there's so much change, being able to tour in a rock and roll band, is way too expensive. You know, the newer generations are coming up. And so now my 40-year-old friends are like really feeling it. And they're in a lot of, I would say there's some pain. And now I'm feeling it as well. So
pain, you mean knees or whatever.
I'm emotionally pain.
Oh, okay.
I'm at the gym a lot, and I can tell you right now that people that are 10 years, most people I know that are 10 years younger than me are like 10 years older than me.
Okay.
And that's unfortunate for them. But
what's your emotional pain? Just the nervousness of
surviving my career. I'm 52 and, I play music, but making a living at music is really hard now. It's harder than it's ever been. And I feel like I don't know what it's like. Do I give up? Do I not? What do I do? I feel like I'm at a crossroads where there's some things that have to change because I'm tired of suffering through like the gig work mentality.
Is it harder because of post-COVID? The world's still a little wonky or not?
The world is definitely still wonky, and everything has completely changed. Like I said, in like it used to be that I can go out on the road and make maybe a little money, kind of make it work and be okay with it. Now it's out of reach. And also now my needs are different. I'm different. You know, the suffering involved to be an artist, the suffering right. to be an artist isn't that sexy anymore to me. So it's like today, I just got a call to do a voiceover demo, a demo for a voiceover tomorrow to sing possibly, what was that? Under Pressure.
Okay.
Queen, David Bowie. And a normal demo rate for something like that is like $200. Okay, so for like 2 hours of my life to do that, and if they use it, then there's the potential for greater pay. The guy, my agent, calls me from New York and said, "Well, it's $100." And I thought, "Wow, I'm at a place right now where I really need the $100, but am I disservicing myself? Am I undervaluing who I am
right.
by saying, you know, I'm worth the $200, the scale pay?" So I'm at that place where I have to turn things down. My wife is getting offered gigs that she's like, "I made that money 8 years ago. I made that money 6 years ago. I can't go out for that money. I'm worth this money. I'm worth more." And so you turn things down, but then you're afraid, because if I turn something down, it all goes away. And the other thing too is, wow, these 17 or 15 or 16 to 25 year olds, they're very talented, and their parents are your age, Keith, and my age, and Sarah, right. and 40-year-olds, and which means, guess what? Their parents are way cooler than our parents were for having. Like, you want to be a musician? Here's my drum set.
Right, right.
You want to play guitar? Go on ahead. You know, where our parents are like, "You could still go back to school. I don't right. know what you're doing." So it's really a harder situation, because I get it. In life, the next generation, there's always going to be somebody younger, somebody willing to do it for less, somebody that can, you know, come up and take your job, take your place. But we're feeling it at a rate now that is very big, and it's hitting us all in the face at the same time, and scary.
Yeah, yeah. I'm. I don't know if this is relatable, but when you say how, you know, this next generation, they have their keyboards at age 5 and all this. Now I'm looking at these different things I'm going to do with the podcast, because I really only cared about the audio. And now it seems you got to care about video and all this other shit. And that was never necessarily my bag. But now I'm looking into things. I'm like, oh, they have these kits already. You know what I mean? They have so much easier now than when I had to literally go into a guitar center and be like, "All right, so I need a microphone and a mixer and this and that," and put together. They're like, "What are you trying to do? Music or what are you trying to do?" I said, "Voice." And they're like, "Oh, we don't have a setup for just your voice." I'm like, "Well, then for music, it's going through a computer. It doesn't matter." So they're like, "No, you said voice, too late." Like, what the fuck? Why is it such a to-do? Yeah.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. It was the same. It's the same with, like, even instruments, like being a drummer. And, you know, you wanted to play all these quieter shows. There wasn't quieter drums. Now they have that cajon. It's a box. You carry it with you, and you can play with an acoustic guitar player. They have all these little trinkets and little things that are so much easier. I grapple with the same thing. I've been dabbling, or I've been working on a project, a podcast of my own.
Right.
And it's all audio. I've been recording episodes, but then it's like, oh my God, the world is all video. Everything's video. Everything's video. And so I grapple with that. And I do think, though, that people really do listen more than watch more, as far as content like yours, content like the Keith and the Girl show. But you got to still have clips.
I got to make reels still. I was talking to Liz Mealy about this. It's a new world. And you got to do that. Look, why do you have to do this?
Right.
Who started it? You know what? Who makes me think of? Who are these? When the people who started it didn't have to start it. So why'd they make themselves do it? It makes me think of when we were in COVID, and then all of a sudden we're like, oh my God, you know, we can wear pajamas to work. And then a woman puts on makeup. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
What the fuck are you doing? You're home. Right. Take off the heels.
Right. Well, what was it? What was I going to say? I had no idea what I was going to say.
Right.
And then there's the TikTok. That's how old I am, right? TikTok. That's the whole thing too. Like, so for a band like mine, I'm like, wow, we're not getting calls for tours. We don't have a booking agent. It's really hard to do. And yet in Nashville, Them Vibes is one of the best bands in Nashville. We have great record. We have songs on television, and we can't make a living at it. And I have friends that are our age that are putting out new music, and they're spending a lot of time putting together these reels on TikTok, doing these things, and they feel so uncomfortable. And to be honest, they look uncomfortable. They don't look like they're being natural.
Right.
And I don't have the time or patience. I know it's not my thing. And that's the other thing. All right. Well, I'm an older generation. I guess my demographic for whatever I do is going to be the Facebook demographic, is going to be the 35 to 55 demographic. And I'm okay with that.
When you would put out little clips and, telling somebody to come to a show or the new album's out, do you struggle through that? Are you like, it'd be easier just to make another song than a 5-minute video?
But yes, because if you're in there, if it's all the algorithms, so if I'm not putting out something every day, like you want to see me every day being buy my record next day, buy my record next day. We said it, buy my record, please. How about that?
Right.
Please. But it's really difficult to do. And it's a pain. I don't find any joy in it. And yet people are getting record deals. They're getting signed strictly because of TikTok.
Then you go to the concert and there's no songs.
You're right. No. And you go to the concert and there's no understanding of what it means to actually be a performer. And that's the God's honest truth. Yeah. I've talked to people in the industry. They say, well, the problem with all that is obviously you get all of a sudden there's people packing out a show, selling out a concert venue, and they stand there and they press play on the computer because touring is expensive. So now they're not necessarily like understanding what it means to be in a band, to have live instruments. You can go out and press play on your computer. Your whole song is there and you can sing to it. And you know what? The audience doesn't care. The younger generation, they just don't. It's people like me who go, it's not a real drummer. Right. They're lip syncing. In the end of the day, people just want to see a good show, have a good time, or if it's a sad show, have a sad good time. And that's really it. It's the purists. We're staying so pure. You know what? We'll be pure when we're dead. Right. Give me.
Right. But it is. But isn't it funny? We're called like snobs or purists. And I'm like, no, it's Saturday Night Live.
Right.
They should be singing live. Yes. It's the Oscars, the best of performing music. Shouldn't you have to literally perform it?
Right. And the answer is no. I mean, I went to Kiss the last tour a couple of months ago. Sarah asked me, there's a great little clip on Sarah's, I don't know if it's still out there. We posted it on Sarah Tomek or Brother Love. And she put together a video. She said, do you want to go see Kiss? And I said, no. And I had a sourpuss on, and next part of the video is us at Kiss. And I'm like the screaming happiest kid. And I said to her, I don't want to have to explain to you why Kiss is important, why they're great. I know you're not a fan, and that's why I don't want to go. Cause I'm just going to be like, well, 1977, this was cooler. Right. And they were phenomenal. I'm not exaggerating. It was incredible. And it was important for me it was like a chapter in my life closing, but there were some moments in the show that clearly, because Paul Stanley is 70 something years old, he had a hard time. He can't do what he did. So there were parts in the show that were canned for sure. And you know what? I thought they're about putting on a great show, and I was okay with it. And I didn't poo poo it at all. And it was phenomenal, because guess what? The other 90% or 85%, they were playing their instruments. They're not playing their instruments. They had a little help with technology, and I thought, I'm okay with that. And so were 20,000 other people. So
right. But there's also a difference between 15% cheating and I'm seeing now. Not the to sound old again, but there's a big difference.
What I want to do is I want to go back in time and tell Millie or Vanilli, say, it's not worth it. The guy killed himself. He killed himself. He got a Grammy, and then the Grammy got pulled from him because you were lip syncing, or that's not you singing on the record. Are you kidding me? Dude, it's not worth it. Nobody's going to care.
Right. Wait it out. Just wait it out.
It's going to be okay. Just, relax and release, man. Relax.
It's almost, this is a weird analogy, but it's almost like, like politicians, they get caught doing something and they make some apology. It's like, no, look at what, then Trump comes around and they're like, I didn't know I could just do that. Right, no, totally. That wasn't me in the video. Oh, you could just do that. AI absolutely. Wasn't even invented yet, and he just said, nope, not me.
Yeah.
Okay.
One me.
Yeah, just wait it out. Just wait it the fuck out. The new, the latest album from Them Vibes is Sonic Chameleonic. Your music, it real legit so good. Even before Them Vibes, when you just went by Brother Love, and you were gracious enough to allow me to put a song at the end of Stand Up, End of the World. Your music is great. As a friend, there's more pressure on me than there is on you, believe it or not. But the music's fantastic. And
it's the 20-year anniversary of Album of the Year.
Okay, first your first year. Album. Yes.
So I do have friends, and I mean one or two that are like, "It's come out with something new, Brother Love." And I don't know. Maybe.
Well, you're here. I mean, it's Them Vibes. That's what's new, you know?
Yes.
I put out the, the Dad Emails book. And then, and then we have our Keith Negro Wednesday chat, and people go, when are you going to do your next book? I'm like, this is here now.
I know. We released our record in September, and we were doing singles all last year. And all you hear is, so what's going on? I'm like, what's going on?
Right. It's April. 2 years barely. Of my life. Yeah.
Killing myself on this record. Yeah. but that goes with what we were just talking about, which my feeling about putting out content, music, songs, things that I work hard on, we work hard on, it's gone and over within a blip of an eye, because the whole culture that we have now is what's next? Blink your eye, the next thing is on. You know, it used to be when you, when we were younger and, you know, up until, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, let's say, if a record came out that you were excited about, like you saw a billboard or a commercial, you said, wow, you forgot about it, but you said, wow, in 8 months, Poison's going to have a new record, right? And you go, holy stuff. And now a record comes out on every Friday and you go, oh my God, I didn't know that U2 had a record out, right? The whole world knew that U2 was coming for a year. Now, unless it's Taylor Swift or Beyonce, it happens and it's over and it's on to the next thing. And on Friday, because that's New Music Friday, there are thousands of songs that come out. So I kind of feel, I understand what the older set is saying, like, what's the point? And I kind of have that unfortunate, like, I feel like a part of me, a part of my life is sort of, I'm putting it to bed. And I hate to say that, but I don't know what else. It's almost like it has to only matter to me, because I'm not making really, I can't make a living off of it as much. And if it doesn't matter, if my intent is to have some sort of fame or some notoriety, that's kind of, those days are sort of over, I feel like.
But then what's the other option?
Exactly.
You're not going to be humming tunes. You're not going to do your little P. Diddy's. I mean, we don't speak his name now, but you're not going to go to the bathroom and start humming something to yourself in the middle of the night when everybody else is trying to sleep. No,
you're right.
You don't have a choice.
You're right. Speaking of P. Diddy, he tried to change his name to Brother Love a few years ago.
Yeah,
right?
Now cut to this, and let's hope the algorithm doesn't remember that.
Somebody sent me...
Cut to him doing sex trafficking now.
Yeah. Somebody sent me a screenshot of the names that he goes by, and that was one of them. But hey, listen, man, I understand. I got a call from my lawyer saying I have to re-up. Why you have to re-up? I have no idea, because they want money. But I trademarked the name Brother Love.
Right.
So, just as long as the wrestler, I don't know if he's still alive.
All right.
So the wrestler gave me an email or something. He sent me a note back then, because I trademarked the name Brother Love, and I was getting calls from news agencies. TMZ called
The wrestler
me.
Was like the religious guy, right? And he had a rose?
I believe so. Yeah, but when the P. Diddy thing was happening, TMZ was calling me, new other news organizations, about 4 or 5, and I was doing interviews. And then I trademarked the name, and then I get a letter from, I don't even think it was a lawyer, it was from the guy.
It was probably him, yeah.
And he said, look, and I'm old enough to know that, yes, there is a wrestler named Brother Love from the 80s, and he's like, it's pretty clear, it's obvious that I've been Brother Love before you, but just so that you don't go into wrestling and I don't go into music, I swear to God, he said, just as long as you don't go into wrestling, I won't go into music, we won't have a problem. So now I'm thinking, you know what? On the 20th anniversary of Album of the Year, I want to wrestle. I want to wrestle this guy, and with props, right?
Right.
You come in with a guitar, I come in with a guitar, and we get to use those and smash them over each other at will, like on the side of the mats and all that. We have guitars and basses and keyboards, and we're smashing them over each other's heads.
That's awesome.
That'd be great entertainment.
That would be great. Do you follow? Because Puff Daddy had your namesake for a second. Do you follow what's going on?
I feel like I know what he did. I basically feel like he said, "Hey, cute, hot, young, what? I don't care. I have a house in Miami and I have a house in California. I'll take you there now." That's trafficking. I mean, it's as simple as that. Over state lines with a minor, or just to go have sex, they could say. So,
how about minors bad enough? Never mind, they're saying rape, to be clear.
Right. Yes, yeah, of course. But why? I'm curious. So the Justin Bieber angle, our aspect, he's 15, right? And he's like, we're doing things that, you know, and
him and Puffy, just to be clear, Justin Bieber, 15 years old, is with Puff Daddy on a video. I don't know why you would make this video. And Puff Daddy's saying, I used to do this with Usher when he was a kid. Now I'm mentoring Justin Bieber as a kid. And this is a 15-year-old's dream. What's going on here? We can't talk about it. What? Too many snow cones? What the fuck could it be if it's not pussy?
Right. I mean, it's just... And as I was a 15-year-old kid. It's Candyland, right? Isn't it?
Right.
But I guess, do you go back and go, wow, I was abused? I don't know. It's a terrible thing, obviously. But as a, you know, my maleness, you know, being growing up in the days that I did, which, you know, will never happen again, and they shouldn't happen again. watching every kid is thinking, every kid when you're a kid thinks that hot teacher is going to come and have sex with you, you know? Sure. And that just doesn't happen, thankfully. But
So we'll see what happens. But so he paid off one woman, and then three other women said, well, since we're talking and the statute of limitations is about to be up, we have proof that it happened to us. And he's like, well, I can't pay everybody because.
Right.
So now it's like, you know, I think he's guilty. And I thought that whenever charges came out and he said, like they all seem to do, it's laughable. There's nothing laughable about it.
No.
So I think you'd be scared a little bit. So that weird lie right there is strange.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you see, unrelated, Lizzo is quitting music. She's fed up with, I say unrelated, but she got in trouble for forced sex stuff fairly recently. I'm getting tired of...
What did she...
She was out with her dancers, and of all people, she's fat shaming them and making them like eat food in public when they don't want to, and making them do sex stuff with each other. Just weird shit you would think from who we understand is an otherwise, you know, sweet flute playing girl.
Right.
Yeah. But she seems to be, she's denying it, of course, but she seems to be a little sexual freak herself.
And so she's quitting. You're saying Lizzo is quitting music?
I'm getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in my life and on the internet. All I want is to make music and make people happy and help the world. This better not be April Fool's. And help the world be a little better than how I found it. But I'm starting to feel like the world doesn't want me in it. I'm constantly up against lies being told about me for clout and views, being the butt of the joke at every single time because of how I look. My character being picked apart by people who don't know me and disrespecting my name. She made one of her dancers supposedly blow a donkey. I didn't sign up for this shit. I quit. Peace sign.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, well, that's unfortunate.
All right.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, what am I going to tell you? So I mentioned the chat room that we do on Wednesdays, keithandthegirl.com/chat. We're now going to do the VIP shows, and we've still been doing those. Last week on Keith and the Girl with the Moros, we just did. That's always fun. Q&A, where our buddy Newsy goes back in time on a date throughout now 20 years. And what do we say on that day? You follow?
So he goes back in time with that person?
Let's say he was doing a show today with us. Right. And it's April 2nd. He would go back to every April 2nd we've ever done and go over the guests, what was our opinion on the news, this kind of thing. So,
that's great. I thought you meant like a date. Like, I was on a date in April 2nd.
He remembers.
Well, I blew him, but it didn't work out.
So now what we do, we're going to do these on Thursdays and take a couple people from Wednesday's chat. Ooh. And they're going to join us. We did it last time with a couple people. It was very, very fun.
So, that's great.
Yeah. So keithandthegirl.com/VIP. Make sure I don't forget to promote things. Did you do anything for Easter?
I was in Florida for, I was back by Easter, but for the weekend, my dad had just turned 80 years old. My father, whom a lot of, some of your fans actually know and have met. And I know you
always
know.
Nice to me.
Yeah. he just turned 80. So we went down for a couple of days there in St. Petersburg, Florida for the winter. And we had a wonderful time, man. He parties more than all, like harder and later than all of us. 9 o'clock. I'm like, oh,
I haven't seen him recently. He still has it together.
He has it all together. He's smaller. You know, he's definitely smaller and he's thin. He can't keep any weight on, which for him is probably to some degree good. Cause you know, I have like a tiny belly and of course he's got to put his hand on my belly and I have to say, what the fuck are you doing? You know, I'm running around his house. So I'm like, forget it. I'm not going out. Why? I'm acting like a child.
Right.
Cause my father said I'm fat. That's what I'm, you know, my wife and my stepmother, like he didn't say you're fat. I'm like, he basically did. So he's still he's all together because he knows how to push my buttons in a wonderful way. And
because I equate older people to my parents and especially my my dad, where I see an 80-year-old that has it together and I'm like, amazing. Where it's not amazing, you know, amazing was what my dad is. A fucking weird liar and all this. It shouldn't be so amazing. But I see your dad amazing. I saw my friend's dad, you know, parents, and I'm like 70, 80. I'm like, you still have it together. You know, Sammy Hagar, he can still play music and he has his brain together and he's almost 80, if not.
Sammy Hagar really does. I always forget that he's older than, you know, than I think.
Yeah. But,
you know, first of all, my dad, and he's pickleball. He's slamming the ball he's great. He's killing us all in pickleball. I do think I like to equate it with, he has somebody in his life. So he and my stepmother, Cindy, she's younger than he is, but the fact that he has that and he's active in that way. And in a way, I think he's nuts because they feel they're going to live forever. They act like they're going to live forever, meaning they have a house in New York that they're paying taxes on, right? Or things that just don't make sense. Right. They won't make decisions like move here or move there. They're slow to make certain life decisions like you got all the time in the world.
Well, they're not ready to settle down.
Yeah, the other side of it is, maybe we should all act like we're going to live forever.
Right.
You know, maybe that's the trick because he absolutely is in phenomenal shape and we had a great time. Yeah.
So that was what Easter was.
So I came back to Easter. And then I came back Easter Sunday. I didn't really do much of anything. I think I watched some baseball and I hung out. Easter has never been a thing.
Well, it turns out you're Jewish. Yeah,
I am Jewish, but I've always dated or married. I'm married to somebody who does celebrate Easter. One thing we didn't do this year that we would have liked to have done was pay an homage to Sarah's father who's passed, is eating kielbasa and eggs on Easter. That's the big tradition. But Sarah had to work, so we didn't get to do that. I don't know. I remember as a kid, we used to do the eggs. My mother would hide the eggs. My mother would leave little bits of fake grass and a half-eaten carrot outside of our bedrooms on Easter morning.
Right.
And it was great, except for the grass that was like sort of sticking out of a mound of what I thought was chocolate. And it wasn't, it was cat shit. Cause the cat would eat the grass, shit it out. And she, no, don't touch the grass. Don't touch the grass. So, you know, Easter, or I had friends. I remember my Italian, really super Italian buddy who was a bass player of mine. He would invite me with his family. And they, for some reason, they always had, they ate at this restaurant and you'd have to call ahead for artichoke hearts. So he was like, hey, Ma, Larry's coming with us to Easter. You got to call up Vinny's and order another artichoke heart. So I was very excited to eat this artichoke heart.
Right.
That was it. That was special. Easter.
What'd you do? I went to YouPorn. And
nice.
Well, here's the thing. It was actually, I have a printout of it because I thought it was funny. X videos, and they make the O an Easter egg. I don't need to be reminded.
That's great.
Why not write Happy Mother's Day? You know, come on.
Oh, for sure.
What are we doing? Easter was, of course, the end of March this time around. The celebration of Easter is determined based on the Sunday following the first full moon of the spring equinox. What kind of devil magic is this bullshit?
Devil magic?
That's what it sounds like. Following that the first full moon of the spring equinox. It seems pretty witchy to me.
Well, on the other side of that is the rebirth, right? That's the thing, is that happens in science, but then Jesus Rising is in there as well, right?
How did that happen? And when does he? When did he? I know it's like 3 days later, but NORAD should follow this news like they do Santa Claus. You know,
that's good. I was really confused forever. I thought Good Friday. Well, the word's good. It's good. But he died.
Maybe he was sarcastic. They're like, good.
Exactly. Good Friday. Right. I don't know.
And then when people say, "God damn," maybe that was good at first. Like he came back, and they're like, "God damn."
Damn. Right. Exactly. God. Damn, that's good.
You're back. By the way, speaking of the moon, the solar eclipse is coming up, and people are getting horny over it.
I just heard on the news, there's just a very narrow corridor in the United States where you're able to experience this, and it from like Texas up to, I don't know, maybe up to
Texas,
Maine.
Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri, Indiana. This is a travel pattern. Ohio, upstate New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, then Canada. It sounds like all of them to me.
But it's not the whole. It's a very narrow corridor through there. And so apparently, campsites, hotels, it's everything is like very, very, very sold out and now very, very expensive. So if you live in that area, if you just live in one of those areas and you want to go and get a tank of gas or some water, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
There's
you
know, helicopter flights up to $4,000, but those are sold out now, even if I got you excited about it. Didn't we just have a total eclipse?
Of the heart.
We just had Donald Trump staring at it. Wasn't that yesterday?
It feels like it was. Speaking of anniversaries of that, we are in line in Nashville, I don't know where else, to have, it's a 13-year cycle of cicadas. We're like millions. Ask your dad what this means.
Oh, million, sure. Right. That's why we talk now.
Right. And I remember because I keep thinking I've been in Nashville for like 10 years. I've been in longer. So in 2011, I remember driving and I remember cicadas hitting the windshield. Like it's gnarly. Yeah. It's freaky. Yeah. So it's
because of all the sinning that's going on.
That's right.
Having this person in the paper, they just talking to somebody, said he missed the Northern Lights on a recent trip to Iceland and the last eclipse of 2017. And he's not going to miss it again, no matter how much it costs. First of all, don't compare the fucking solar eclipse to the fucking Northern Lights.
No, you can't.
I've seen the Northern Lights and I've seen a solar eclipse. They're not even fucking close. And all you see is like, oh, I guess the black circle's in front of the sun circle. That's it. Yeah. You don't see these pretty lights like you see if you go to NASA.com the next day. Right. So I'm reading that somebody's going on a trip I'm taking pictures for my son back home. Like, your son's not going to give a fuck. He'll find it online. It'll be better because there'll be the Hubble telescope or something like this.
But you can watch it live, right?
What are you going to do to a fucking a cereal box?
When did you see the Northern Light, or where did you see the Northern
Iceland
Light? You were in Iceland?
Yeah, I travel.
God, I don't know where you find the time, as busy as you are hosting a show. You know, going through, you know, marriages and
well, that's where you see Iceland. You go through marriages. I saw Hawaii. I went through marriages, you know. You know how the world finds out about different countries because of war? I find out because of marriages.
You know what? It has suited you because now you are a much whole person.
Thank you.
To bring all of this knowledge to all of us, which is great.
Let's see.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
When you go to the airport,
yes.
Do you always wear? Could you imagine not wearing shoes that cover your feet in the airport?
I wear regular shoes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I was at the airport, and because our flight was delayed going to Tampa to go see our parents, and I see these kids with their socks on and flip flops, and I wonder, what is your parent telling you? If something happens, you're not going to be able to run. Everybody wears like they walk around in socks and pajamas now. I know I sound like an old fart, but like they walk around in pajama. They're wearing pajama pants and socks, and like no shoes.
I think the airport, there's something so special about it. Because it's such a pain in the ass. A 2-3 hour trip takes up half the day, getting there, waiting there, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's in a fucking bad mood. You're just ready to die. So okay. I might as well die in pajamas. That's what people are. I mean, you're going to a place where you're going to be getting drunk at 6 a.m. because right. life is so dumb there. And everybody's, the workers are so rude that they have signs that say, you can't punch me. Well, you can't punch anybody. No, but I'm going to earn it. And you can't.
Well, that answers that. Thank
That's
you.
A I living hell. Wear whatever yeah. the fuck you want.
I guess so. It makes yeah. me, it's just so disgusting to me. You know,
I hear you.
I dress up. I get on an airplane. I like the olden days. I put on a nice shirt and I put on some pants and some cool shoes. Not cool, but I'm comfortable because that's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. but I miss the days you get a little dressed up to go traveling.
I take my shoes off if it's a long flight.
Yeah, but you're wearing shoes. You know, you take them off
yes.
for comfort. I get. I see these kids walking through the airport.
Right.
With their socks in their socks. I mean, they're holding their flip flops.
Yeah, they just gave up. Hand. Yeah, they gave up. I get. And I get
early.
Why.
That's a little young.
I get why. Yeah. Nah, yeah. You know what? They're learning about the world faster.
Done.
They're I'm like, who gives a shit? Yeah. Yeah. Fuck Good. It. I just this newspaper is just talking to different people that are excited about these space bullshits. One person said, we're going to go see it. I'm a science teacher. I'm going to see it with my wife. I'm very excited. Well, that's going to be a pain in the ass. They're there with a telescope like, look, honey. And the wife's yeah. like, oh, it's beautiful. And he's like, well, actually, it's because he shut the fuck up. We're not in school, okay? It's beautiful. I'm looking at it. I don't give a fuck. You know, it's the gases that shut the fuck up, Bob.
Right. And meanwhile, she's like, can I see? She's like, I'm the professor. I have the telescope. So right. by the time she gets it, it's over. She's not seeing the whole deal. You know, he's not sharing.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, speaking of, this kind of goes with the my dad and our God talk. My dad likes to say, I didn't get an Easter letter this time. I really think that that email's book really changed our relationship.
Really? No Easter email?
I'd still get an Easter. I'm not surprised. He thinks I'll make another book about it. I think he finally gets it. That, you know, I'm over his little tricks. But he would always say, like, just out of the, you know, Lord works in mysterious ways. I'm like, oh, that's why you hit on my ex-wife. His wonders to perform. Like, what the fuck does that sentence even mean? I don't think he knows it's from a poem. It's not from the Bible.
Right.
But I thought this point was funny because somebody said his wonders to perform on our forums is such a weird, stupid phrase. And Chris from Diamond Dogs, he said, I've had a thought similar to Keith on ghosts. What percentage of believers do you think have actually... I've said, how do people believe in ghosts and then they don't study it for the rest of their lives? I don't believe in ghosts. But if I did or I saw an apparition, I think it would change my life. And all of a sudden, podcasting isn't so important. And I tried right. to find the other side. Anyway... what percentage, Chris says, of believers do you think have actually read the Bible cover to cover? I would guess around 1%, if that. This is why I think everybody's full of shit. You actually believe in an omnipotent, omniscient God that created all of reality and the known universe with a simple thought, but you don't have time to read the book he wrote?
Right.
That's a good yeah. point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point. I know, like, I brought this up before, but... You supposedly, every Sunday, you go over these old stories in the Bible and Abraham killing his kid. Now in 2024, you see on the news, a woman says, God told me to drown my three babies. You'd be like, well, you're bad shit. Death penalty.
Right.
There's no way that could have happened again.
Right.
There's no way.
No.
Yeah. I don't think people really believe. That's what I'm starting to think.
Were you, let me ask you this. Were you kind of hoping to get a little something from your dad just to spice it up? I mean, you know, I get it. You had you porn. But, you know, just a little something else to do on Easter.
I hope I do want him to write again.
Yeah.
I not to fix the relationship, of course. And I might just tell him to fuck off when he writes. But I enjoy it very much. I enjoy that. I'm open.
That's just like a really classic, great, fucked up breakup. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I just, you know, it's like you get the call, like, I just miss us.
Right.
You know? Well, which us are you talking about? Yes, you know, the way we just, because I just understood you, you know, like when right. in classic movies and stories where the enemies end up becoming best friends, it would be classic for you too, because you're blood, you're father and son. You need a common enemy. That's what you need. You need yes. somebody to fuck with all of it so that you two can join forces and say, you know what, Dad? High five. And he goes, you know what, son? And you're like, eh, you know, psych. But it would just be great. You need a common enemy. Who could it be? Man, it'd be great. something to join your forces.
He was hoping it'd be my mom. She passed away. Now there's nobody, you know. Now I love my mom. I don't know why I said that, but
well, he was hoping, right?
He really was hoping. He would bring up like, oh, you're like, I remember when she died, it's like he was like, and don't be mad at your mom. She did her best with what she got. Like, what, motherfucker? What? So he's trying to make the kids think that if there was strife at home, it was my mom.
Of course.
And not my dad. There's five of us. We're going to get our story straight eventually. Here's a fun God Works in the Mysterious Ways story. Abby and Brittany Hensel, conjoined twins. They were on Oprah's long time ago, TLC after that. Abby, the conjoined twin, I'll show you. I'll put a picture up, but she's the one on her right. But the both heads look the same. So it's one body, two heads.
Okay.
Abby, the conjoined twin on the right, married Josh Bowling. Josh has one head, to be clear.
Well,
a nurse and United States Army veteran. They got married in 2021. It's just making the news now. They live in Minnesota. Abby and Brittany, the one person, is 34. I think you say one person. The sisters are both fifth grade teachers. Well, they got to do the same thing, right?
All right.
Did they get double pay? Or something? Only one of you is really doing the work.
Yeah. Wow.
One's hungover. Abby and her sister wore a white sleeveless bridal gown with a laced back while Bowling wore a gray suit. The sisters originally appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show in 96. They have a rare condition. This condition is there's two heads on a single body, one genital system. You can have two, three, or four arms. They happen to have two. Two hearts.
Wow.
Two legs.
So. And they think independently?
And they think independently, but this is the thing. One's married, so they have to obviously sleep in the same bed. I guess she has to okay sex the sister, right?
Or if the one who's tired says, well, I'm exhausted. Well, how about you?
I'm picturing like the wife fucks the husband, and then you hear the other head moan a little bit, and then the sister's like, hey, hey, zone out.
Yeah.
Or the sister's accept, because the sister wants to feel pleasure too. And it's like, you really should fuck your husband tonight. It's been a while. For you guys, I think that'll bring your relationship closer.
What if like the other one that's not married gives better blowjobs? You know what I mean? It's like,
Well, here's the thing. The wife only gives the blowjobs, but there's always balls in the sister's face.
Oh my God.
Yeah, or the husband goes, he makes out with the wrong one. And she's like, hey, I'm over here. Oh, you're right. Right. I was thinking my right as opposed to left.
Okay. You know, you're too many teeth, and you know you're too gummy.
Can you talk to your sister? I'm right here.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
Now anybody that doesn't understand the idea of a transgender person, when you see this, how don't you go, okay, I can see that. God makes everything.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. Do they sing? Because I bet you their harmony would be incredible.
You'd be surprised. One won't use their diaphragm.
Okay, yeah.
More throaty. The Helsin twins share a blood... I'm using the diaphragm now.
Right.
No, I am. The Helsin twins share a bloodstream and all organs below the waist. Abby controls their right arm and leg. Brittany controls the left side.
Wow.
But is one better than the other? Are they ambidextrous? Who does give the hand job? It's like, hey, sis, help me out over here because my hand's sloppy.
Oh, wow.
Their parents opted out of separation surgery because doctors said there was a small chance the girls would survive the operation.
Yeah. No way they could have survived. I mean, how could you? You know, they share all the organs from the waist down. Yeah,
I think I'd let you try to cut my head off.
I think it's like you cut the body in half horizontally, stick a head on a pelvis. It's not going to work.
Abby's husband has a child from a prior relationship.
Oh.
What if only one of them's into butt stuff?
You know? I don't know. Well, I guess the other one learns quickly. I don't know.
So who are we to complain about anything?
What if the other one just hates this guy? I mean, like, really hates. Like, what if the other one is like, I'm so, like, I was at the gym today and the guy next to me had some kind of cologne on and I wanted to vomit. I was like, you know, I'd rather smell your sweat than your, whatever your cologne is on top of it. What if she's just like allergic to, oh my God, this guy's been wearing Paco Rabanne for years. I want to die. Or, you know, or patchouli. Imagine that, right? Fucking hate that shit.
Oh, he's in me, sister. Well, he's kind of in me too.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's kind of turning me off. Oh, well.
Well, God bless them all for making it work. God bless them. Right? If they can make it work, then we can accept it.
Right. God didn't bless them, but God bless them.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Here's some news. Louis Gossett Jr. Passed away, 87 years young.
He did. He passed away. He was wonderful. He was so good. I didn't realize he was in Roots. That was like his first breakout role on the television show, Roots in the 70s.
That's funny because CNN, they couldn't find better credits. They said An Officer and a Gentleman, which is great. He's the drone instructor. And Jaws 3. I'm like, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Jaws 3 was the one in 3D. Remember that one?
And yeah, I know of it.
I remember going to the theater and thinking, like, this is going to be amazing. And the whole movie, I had the glasses on. It was so bad. And there was just one scene at the end where the shark comes through the glass, like they're I guess, looking at it as if it's in this big tank.
Okay.
And the thing comes straight directly at it and it comes at you. And maybe I'd say it was somewhat three-dimensional. And we said, woo, it was so it was horrible. But Louis got, no, he was in Roots, CNN. He was in Roots. Right. That was pretty important.
Yeah. It doesn't say how they died. They think, ironically, is from too much mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Well, that's interesting. Odd.
That's interesting. Strange. All right, here's some things I think you want to do. Check out the Dad Emails book. It's worth me not talking to my dad. That's how excited I am about it. It's worth not keeping the bloodlines talking. KeithandTheGirl.com/dadbook. The Dad Emails book is there. The Great American Novel you'll see right there, too, for only $5.99. And the new stand-up album, Nice Try Tricksters, is out right now. Go to KeithandTheGirl.com/trick. All right? And it features music from Brother Love. Them Vibes. You want all the music. The latest being Sonic Chameleonic. It's fantastic. I see you guys live. You're fantastic.
Thank you.
You put on a show. Everybody, even if they're new to you, they start finding their way to the front.
Yeah, wow, thank you.
You're very exciting.
Hey, did I forgot to, you know, maybe I mentioned this to you. A few months ago, I was doing a show on Lower Broadway playing drums, and a couple of Keith and the Girl fans came up. They said, I've known you. They said, we've been a fan of yours, and obviously Keith and the Girl for many years. So, yes, if you're in the Nashville area, we have a gig on April 13th this month at the East Nashville Beer Festival. So it's an afternoon show. And that's our next show in town. I believe we're up in Wisconsin in July. So where? I don't remember, but I know it's somewhere.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, that's got to be in the Wisconsin Gazette, I assume.
Yeah, themvibes.com. That's easy. All the stuff is there.
And what's the deal with the podcast you alluded to?
So I'm recording episodes. It's called The Brother Love Hour.
That's a good name.
Technically, Keith Malley and, well, maybe not Hemda. She owns her own stuff now. But I've been recording shows. I've been interviewing artists and creatives that are in the community here with a little bit of a more of a focus on the mental health side of the artist aspects of things. And, you know, I was thinking about this just as I was involved in the last week of Hemda. And I thought to myself, what do you call your podcast? It's a comedy. It's Keith and the Girl is a comedy podcast.
Yes.
Is there another, right? I'm saying the actual, like, if I were to look on iTunes.
We had a little tagline in the art that said free comedy talk show.
Right. And so it's very difficult to say, it's like saying, what is your band or what is your song sound like? What is your show? And I say it's an interview, based show with a lean into mental health. And as I was involved in your last week of, Keith and the Girl, the season one, I thought to myself, your show is mental health based. You know, your show is very much about, you know, is about inclusion and being seen and being heard without saying that it's about the mental health aspect. It's comedy podcast is a wonderful way of an umbrella for your show. My show is definitely funny. Well, I think so.
Right.
And the interviews are very personal and learning a lot more than just Googling, well, what is my favorite artist? Where are they, he or she going to be? So I have about 15 in the can, and I'm just figuring out a way to partner up with maybe something like Music Cares or Lifting Lives or That's something cool. of that nature. Yeah. So you'll hear more about it soon.
Excellent.
I'm confident about that.
All right. Yeah. Now, I'll ask you for advice on Reels. This will be perfect.
Perfect. Excellent. Wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's great to see you. You're not quitting music anytime soon. Your stuff is too good.
Thank you.
That's it. I won't allow it. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody. KeithandTheGirl.com.